B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming for Tuesday, August 13th, 2019. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in gaming and esports news with Sarah over at the news desk. Plus, we got to check in with our social media followers and find out how video games have changed your life. That's all coming up today here on Checkpoint XP Daily. There's a lot to cover in the world of esports, but we got to start off with OWL as we start getting a clearer playoff picture.
That's right. With the exclusion this season of the Stage 4 playoffs, a lot of the games that are happening right now aren't really doing a whole lot for as far as movement goes. And if you want to hear more about NYXL's slow decline or the rise of the Guangzhou Charge, make sure to check out our Overwatch League podcast, Low Team Damage. But what we're looking at right now is teams like Vancouver, the New York Excelsior, and San Francisco. They're locked into the top six. They will be there. People like the Gladiators in London, very good chance. I'd put money on them being there, but technically, there is that chance that they could end up falling out into the play-ins and seeing somebody else sneak up in there.
Journalistically, you're not allowed to say they're out of it yet.
Correct.
That's right.
Okay. Correct. I don't want to curse them like that. Yeah. Honestly, where I think the most of the movement's going to end up happening right now is they have the inclusion of what they're calling the play-ins this year, where the 12th through 7th place team are all going to play in a single elimination tournament, and the top two will get into the playoffs.
Essentially, that's your wild card spot.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Wild card weekend.
Which, exactly. Honestly, is still anybody's ball game except for those firmly at the bottom. Your Washington Justice, your Toronto Defiant, Mayhem, the Houston Outlaws.
Let me ask you a question here, because we saw a big meta shakeup with Force 222 Rolock that came in with Stage 4. So has that upset the apple cart in terms of overall season points for any teams? Has that made the big difference for any teams for the playoffs?
It'll probably make the biggest difference for some of the middle-of-the-road teams, like the Guangzhou Charge, who are seeing a huge surge right now. Unfortunately, the Washington Justice had such a terrible season that even if they go undefeated this stage, it's not doing anything for them.
Aww.
They're playing spoilers more than anything else. So over the next 2 weeks, we'll have a lot more comprehensive and concrete idea of what those playoffs are going to look like.
All right. Interesting. We got to shift gears over to PlayerUnknown's Battleground. We had the PUBG Nations Cup 2019. And guess who came out on top? Russia wins with 127 points, taking home the $100,000 prize pool.
I demand a recount.
This is kind of a surprise, considering that they're not, they don't have a league over in Russia.
I gotta say, it's weird hearing Russia in top tier esports again. Like, I haven't heard that, it feels like, in like 6, 7, 8 years since like Moscow 5 was a team. I can't remember the last time I remember taking Russia super seriously.
But wasn't Korea playing some of the most attractive PUBG that there is?
They were. Korea was nipping right at their heels at 122 points. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Korea just plays out of their mind. But listen, Russia had a real run at this thing. Team Canada did show up for North America, coming in third. And then, unfortunately, we got to talk about Team USA coming in 10th.
They had
two members of Tempo Storm, two members of Space Station Gaming, and one member of Ghost Gaming. They did not make much of a splash. I mean, Canada ended up really carrying it for the North American fans in the audience.
So, and I hope that's not going to be a trend that we're going to see emerge yet again in an esport, where North America is fun and interesting to watch locally, and then as soon as we get onto the world stage, it doesn't go so well, because we're just
very
now getting
familiar.
We're just now getting away from that in other esports.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of roster shakeup that goes on for the Nations Cup, so I wouldn't take any of this too seriously. But we've got to talk about the announcement of the PUBG Global Championship. 32 teams will be competing for a $2 million prize pool.
Ooh.
One of the largest prize pools so far in PUBG, and will be competing for the title of PUBG Global champion. The global championship will be a 3-week event starting with the group stage on November 8th through the 10th, a semifinal stage November 15th through the 17th, both of which will be held out in Los Angeles. And then the grand finals will follow November 23rd and 24th in Oakland, California.
That's a great call on their part, by the way. November is an awesome month to try to fill some space because
exactly.
Esports is hurting for something in November.
Yeah,
usually.
Okay. So you picked up on the same thing that I did, is that is a really, really good target area because a lot of other leagues will be experiencing offseason at that point. You're listening to Checkpoint XP. We're going through the latest in the biggest esports leagues. And listen, we've got to shift our focus over to the LCS because we're also looking towards the end of the season now.
We sure are. I mean, last weekend was quarterfinals for the LCS, the biggest North American League of Legends tournament of the year. Quarterfinals was kind of a snooze fest.
Yeah, it really
was. I mean, Norris, you watched it as well as I did. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess Saturday was okay, but Sunday was passing
Saturday
out, man.
Clutch sort of performing an upset against TSM. TSM once again falling out in the playoffs and pretty much not impressing anybody, looking completely dumbfounded.
We got to mention that because two times now in 2 years, Clutch has been the ones to boot TSM out of the playoffs. If you're a TSM fan, seeing that you're up against Clutch Gaming has to just give you a heart attack at this point.
And talk about a team playing a spoiler right there.
For sure.
For sure. And especially Demonte popping off on a character that just came out, 3 weeks ago?
Exactly. Kiana.
Yep.
And now we got Sunday where CLG is facing off against Optic Gaming. And the first game I thought was actually very entertaining. Mm-hmm. It was competitive. It was fun. CLG played well to hang on there and pull it out at the end.
Yeah,
and
but that was the end of that.
Yeah, and then games two and three were like the third game was over and felt like in 25 minutes. Like they were two really quick games, and it was a 3-0 stomp of Optic Gaming at the end of the day. And I gotta tell you something, it doesn't make me feel any better about CLG. Like I'd love to come on and say like, oh well, this is proof positive that CLG is here and ready to compete, but. No.
Really? Not after the games that Power of Evil had in the bot lane, bro?
He looked good, but all you can say is it was Optic Gaming. Like, if they can do something against that, like that against Cloud9,
sure,
I'd feel real good about that. And speaking of which, looking forward to this weekend, we've got Cloud9 taking on CLG in a rematch of that match that saw them lose their first round bye.
What are you predicting for the outcome?
I don't feel good about it, man.
No?
I feel like Cloud9's got CLG's.
You really
number.
Nervous about this?
If I was like a betting man, there's no way I'm putting money on this match, one way or the other, to be honest with you. You know, one thing that we should mention is that we got to sit down and talk with a caster for the LCS, Azale, one of the best minds in League of Legends, and we really got to ask him some questions. And one of the pertinent questions that I wanted to ask him, because I keep hearing this, is that North America really doesn't have any hope on the world stage. Like, once we get to worlds, it doesn't matter who represents us. And he had a lot of thoughts on that.
I think that has been the feeling for a long time, you know, is that, okay, you know, we can't compete at worlds, we can't compete at MSI, but I don't really feel that is true any longer. You know, you look back at the last number of like international tournaments and NA has been doing great, right? You know, C9 got top four at worlds, eliminating Korea, that one of the leagues that you mentioned, at the world championship in a best of five. Then Liquid goes and takes out the world champions at MSI, going all the way to the finals from the LPL, right? You know, those are the two kind of like heavy hitting leagues that everyone always points to. So I think the North American teams have improved. And I think that, you know, over the course of the last year and a half, have shown that they can compete. So, you know, I think we kind of live in that era no longer. And I'm personally very excited for worlds to see if we can repeat.
Norris, I got to tell you something. Maybe it's just the longtime CLG fan in me, but. Mm-hmm. I can't help but feel like I've been given hope over the last year or so with Cloud9 and again with Team Liquid, and it's all going to be taken away from me as soon as I start to believe. I'm a little nervous. Like, if is this the year for you? Like, if North America goes and competes on the world stage again at Worlds this year, is it safe to believe?
No. It's not safe to believe. G2 Esports is that much better than everybody else, in my opinion.
Hang on, though. Like, do you absolutely have to win to be considered a competitor now on the world stage?
Right, that's what I'm asking.
Is that the hill that you have to overcome to be taken seriously?
No, I'm through with that. At this point, North America has the talent. Win. Go out and win.
You know what?
I'm tired of that. I'm tired of semifinals. I'm tired of quarterfinals. I'm tired of that. Go win.
I don't disagree with you. You're right. I do think they have the talent at this point to go and win. And you're right. The idea would be well, you have the talent, then go do it. Nothing less is acceptable. But when you've gone 7 years without even a sniff of competition, boy, does it feel good. Like, I'm telling you, man, the shrimp cocktail is just as good at the party, whether or not you win. It's a good time to be
there. Yeah, it tastes a lot better with champagne, I'll tell you that.
You know what? That's a fair point. We do have to look forward to this week, and we've got four teams remaining. Team Liquid, Cloud9, CLG, and Clutch Gaming are the four remaining, and we did get a chance to ask Azale who he's putting his money on, because if you're going to, you know, if you're going to take someone's advice, there's better people to ask than me, as history has shown.
I mean, you got to bet on TL, right?
That's where the money goes, right?
I think that's where the safe money is these days. TL has just been looking so good. There's a reason they've won three straight. I think that they are the clear number one team from the regular season. So, you know, I do think some of these other teams have the potential to beat them, but it has to be them playing, you know, like almost above expectation, where TL has to play below. I think if TL plays to their level, they should be unbeatable. Like, their bot lane, I think, is just, you know, head and shoulders above the rest of the league, and I think that gives them such a big advantage, and it's not as though they're exploitable on other parts of the map either.
By the way, TL, for those not in the know, that's Team Liquid.
Team Liquid, and yeah, you're right. The last best hope for North America at this point is probably Team Liquid.
Oh, the holdout is absolutely Team Liquid. And by the way, we've got to mention, if you're in the Detroit area, make sure you end up coming down to Game Time in Auburn Hills. We'll be there both Saturday and Sunday watching the games and talking to fans. So come on down and enjoy some great food and drinks while rooting on your favorite LCS team. You can get more information over at their website, GameTimeGG.com, or at our website, CheckpointXP.com. We want to hear from you. Who are you pulling for in the semifinals? Connect with us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on CheckpointXP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports and gaming news with Sarah Skopik over at the news desk. Plus, we got to check in with our social media followers to find out how video games have changed your life. Stick around. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
And welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news with Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk. Plus, we'll check in with our social media followers to find out how games have changed your life. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopik.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
A game store in Seattle hit the mother lode while sifting through a bag of otherwise boring NES games. The co-owner of the shop said he was sifting through a Safeway bag of the most boring NES games you can imagine when he spotted a cartridge of Nintendo World Championships 1990. Mm-hmm. After opening it to confirm that it wasn't a reproduction, the store offered the man $13,000 for it, which he accepted.
Yep, wow. I'm accepting it. Talk about a cash out, man. Okay,
what is the story behind this game? Yeah, there has to be a story.
Oh, yeah. So Nintendo World Championships was a cartridge that they made for the Nintendo World Championships in 1990 when they ran those tournaments for like 2 years, I think it was. And so it's literally a cartridge that just has three games on it because those are the cartridges you played on. There's only like 200 of them in the world.
Okay, that is pretty crazy.
Yeah,
Because there was also a story a few weeks ago of a family that found an unopened Kid Icarus cartridge up in the attic. Still with its receipt.
Oh, no way.
They had bought it for Christmas.
For like Christmas and then forgot it
and
up
left
there?
It up there.
Oh, no.
Yo.
Wow. Yo. I mean, talk about like an investment over time. Yes. Wow.
Epic Games has been hit with a class action lawsuit following their leak of players' information earlier this year. In January, Epic acknowledged a bug in Fortnite that may have resulted in the personal information of thousands of players being leaked. Now they're facing a class action lawsuit with over 100 members currently listed.
Yikes. This is going to continue to be a massive issue for all these different launchers, all these different companies. There's a story of the ESA and you know, the content creator list that was leaked with all the personal information. You're going to start seeing a lot more of this in the coming future. This is going to be commonplace, I hate to say it.
Listen, companies need to get a lot more serious when it comes to protecting their customers' data.
Yeah.
We've seen this play out over time and time again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this will happen, a company will get sued, and you know what? If they have to keep paying out the nose for it, maybe they'll take it seriously.
Well, and here's the crazy part about it is that, especially in the case of the ESA leak, that wasn't necessarily a break-in or a hack.
Right.
It literally was just a document that was posted up.
Ridiculous.
I'll tell you what, if you're the ESA, you gotta be feeling real nervous right about now, knowing you just went through this problem yourself. The lawsuit is on the way, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Especially because those were all journalists.
Uh-huh.
Like, they understand and really have an added need for privacy and protection.
That's right.
Like, that's absolutely on its way.
NBA 2K20 has announced that it will mark the debut of the WNBA in the game franchise. The reaction from fans of the game and bystanders alike was sadly all too predictable. The amount of misogyny, disgusting comments, and the lack of enthusiasm for what should be a big moment is a black eye in the gaming community.
I have a question. How is it that it's taken this long?
Yeah, what, at 2K20? Yeah.
Yeah.
How has it taken that long?
Well, these comments might be the reason why.
I mean, yes, that's part of it, but you would think that, like, it's such an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, you just replace character models. Like, it's not that complicated.
No, it's not. But, Sarah, I want to ask you as somebody, you know, who is in the gaming industry as a woman, like, what does this continue to do for you, you know, when you see these types of comments? Do you get frustrated?
Very frustrated. Well, I mean, I'm actually at the point where I don't even know if I have the energy to be, like, super mad. I just kind of want to sit there and tell everybody to chill out.
Yeah.
Because it's less of, I almost want to be less of being over the top on, oh my gosh, misogyny, and just more of, can you guys just calm down? It's a game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I agree with you.
Gears of War fans, rejoice. Gears 5 is on the way. The game has officially gone gold, and for those who don't know what that means, it simply means the studio has sent the completed build to manufacturing. Of course, the game development today being what it is, the game will still change significantly between now and launch day. Retail launch is scheduled for September 10th.
I don't get Gears.
Also, by the way, expect those same people that was upset with the WNBA to also be upset with this game, as we do have a female protagonist this time.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's political.
Get those politics out of my game.
I'm actually looking forward to it. Gears has always been kind of the way that you look at Dynasty Warriors. Gears is that for me. I just go in, I'm shooting aliens, right?
Yeah.
But I'm actually hoping from the little that I've seen that what they've recently done for, like, God of War with, like, you know, putting more on, like, the narrative, that they do a little bit more of that with this one, because it seems to be a little bit more, like, psychological.
There's a lot more effort put into Gears of War than Dynasty Warriors.
That's fair.
If you've got a Switch, then there may be good news coming down the pipeline. While FCC filings aren't always reliable, this one has Nintendo fans excited. Nintendo recently filed with the FCC a Switch-compatible Super Nintendo controller.
Oh,
the move may mean that we'll be seeing SNES titles on the Switch before long.
Yes!
I want this. I want this so bad, because, like, SNES was, like, the golden era for Nintendo games. Like, honestly, some of the best games ever made exist in that era. Cannot wait.
Give this to me now.
If they even start putting SNES games on that their online service,
the virtual console,
they could charge a little bit more for it.
Listen,
I wouldn't even mind.
That's my thing. Is like the NES games that show up on there.
Yeah.
I always think, like, it's free, so I'll play it, or it comes with my online service, so I'll play it. SNES games, they could put them on there and say $5 a game.
Give me Saturday Night Slam Masters right now.
Subnautica's developer, Unknown World, has called G2A's bluff and demanded $300,000 from the company.
Wow.
G2A, a shady reseller of access keys for video games, has said in the past that they would repay companies 10 times the amount they lose due to chargebacks from fraud. Unknown World has taken them up on that offer, citing $30,000 in chargebacks and demanding $300,000 from the company.
Wow. Called that bluff.
Seriously.
Listen, man. I don't think you're going to find a whole lot of love for G2A in the greater gaming community, but these guys, They always find ways to make me mad. Every time I read a story about him, it's flooring.
I know. And it does seem like snake oil salesman to the nth degree here.
For
so
sure.
I wonder how they end up wriggling out of this one.
I doubt they pay $300,000.
Yeah. Don't write checks that your ass can't cash.
Absolutely.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. There's been a lot of discussion about loot boxes in the news lately, and we've been covering it here pretty closely on Checkpoint XP. The FTC held an open house investigating the practice, and it turned up some pretty shady facts.
Yeah, before we get too deep into that, I want to start with explaining, for those who don't know, if you've never seen what a loot box is, buckle up, because I guarantee you your kids have.
Yep.
Basically, the idea is if you want an item for your character, not something that actually helps you in any way, just maybe you want to look a little bit different, you have, instead of just buying that upgrade to make your character look different, you buy a box that is cheaper than it would be normally, but it might have that item.
A random chance.
Yeah, yes. It's a random shot at getting an item. Maybe you get the one. Think about trading cards or anything like that.
Packs of trading cards is a really, really good example, because you have rarities of some cards, which drives value, and there is some similar kind of logic that is happening here.
Absolutely. So the FTC has opened an investigation into this, which is one of the more severe, like, breaches of government getting into gaming. Like, we haven't seen something like that before, and it's really starting to make some movement happen here. We had it announced this week that Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony are all going to now require the odds that the item you want might drop. Exactly, you'll have to show what the odds are of that happening.
Yeah, and that's been one of the big criticisms of loot boxes, is that, yes, maybe some might even disclose the potential loot pool, but you have no idea what the chance is to be able to receive that item. So, you know, you're buying, you know, 10, 15, 20 loot boxes in hopes of getting this one item, and even then you're not guaranteed to get it. I mean, even if you play the odds, even if you know the chances...
Right.
There's still a good chance that you're not going to get the item that you want.
As a purchaser of loot boxes, knowing the odds is just another way for me to rationalize buying
your purchasing.
Of them.
For sure. Yeah. Well, a friend of the show, Omid Dariani, he's a representative for streamers, he confirmed at the FTC open house that he has had clients approached by game companies to open loot boxes on stream. So, like an influencer sort
of
thing.
Sure. Yeah.
In addition, he mentioned that on one occasion, a streamer was offered better odds of opening good loot boxes while streaming.
See, now this is the shadiest of the shady, because the FTC, the reason they're getting involved in this is because you've had multiple legislators now liken the drive to open loot boxes to gambling.
Yes.
And, you know, that needs to be sussed out on the floor, but that's why the FTC is involved. But if you're telling me that game developers are essentially stacking the deck, fixing the house, if you will,
right,
for certain people to be able to have better odds than other folks,
and
we have a fundamental and really legally gray area here.
Oh, definitely.
This is absolutely predatory, because watching
deception.
These streamers now, yes, you're going to think, wow, those are great odds.
Absolutely.
Let me go and open some.
It's really disgusting, the open deception that is happening there. And yeah, like, that is really aimed at children, mm-hmm. right?
For
like,
sure.
Because listen, millennials and younger are the ones that are watching and engaging with streamers out there. And so it's that much more important to look at practices like this and be super critical of them, because we don't want this to be the norm.
I mean, could you imagine going into, you know, the Lux or MGM Grand or something like that, and knowing that there is a different deck for a celebrity,
for people,
you know, influencers, than there is for you.
Mind blowing.
Absolutely.
This should be a much bigger scandal. There should be way more discussion about this than I've seen about it. But we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, and let us know how you feel about this practice. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with our social media followers to find out how games have changed your life. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily, but ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk.
The best Smash Ultimate player in the world may finally have a name.
Esports News is is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 92.5 FM Fox News in Jacksonville and ESPN Southwest Florida on 99.3 FM. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at BPodStudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling and the WWE, and Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, then go to BPodStudios.com. The place to be for podcast discovery. Now, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk.
Oh, my God!
With Sarah Skopic.
It seems like MKLeo doesn't have any intention of slowing down. Following a big win at EVO at the beginning of August, MKLeo has now taken home first place at Super Smash Con.
Wow.
The path to victory included an emotional win over Zachary that saw the Japanese competitor collapse to the floor after the brutal loss. MKLeo, meanwhile, went on to defeat Tweak in the finals. He's on track to cement himself as the best Smash Ultimate player in the world, as he's now won five majors this year.
Smash God.
Yeah, totally.
I'm putting it out there.
Totally.
New Smash God.
And the first Ultimate Smash God.
The first Ultimate Smash God.
Absolutely.
If he continues on this trend for more than a year, Smash God.
I just need to point out that we have seen a lot of these same names at the top of the bracket when it comes down. It doesn't matter if it's Frostbite, Evo, whatever it is. We've seen Zachary,
MKLeo, Light.
We've Light, Tweak, yep. All of these names have been showing up and really been performing amazingly. So shout out to MKLeo, man. That's amazing.
While streaming this week, former Overwatch League player Seagull was asked why players retire so frequently from OWL. He replied that the issue is how many balance changes come down. He compared it to League of Legends, which has one map and many balance changes, and CSGO, which has many maps but few balance changes. OWL, meanwhile, has lots of maps and lots of balance changes, leading to a lot of burnout.
I can understand that. I wonder, though, if this is not because it's still so young. A lot of those other games have had at least 10 years under their belt.
Yeah.
A lot of development under their belt, mm-hmm. even before their competitive scene really got rolling. And I gotta wonder if that's just, you know, the growing pains of an early game.
Well, right. And while, look, I realize that in this industry, not OWL in particular, burnout can be a major issue.
Sure.
This sort of thing, oh, they change it too much, also seems very kind of whiny. I mean, when we look at some of the bigger names, XQC,
ooh.
First of all, was kicked out of the league. Defrayan wanted to make more money, and he could do so streaming. Seagull, you were on a crappy team. If this is your excuse on why you didn't go anywhere, fine. And who was it? The other OWL Trace, the Dallas player from Korea who retired.
Effect.
He had a lot of like family and like mental
sure.
and depression issues. So don't try to blame this on, oh, they changed the game too much.
Man,
that's esports, man.
Robbie
right.
calling out Siegel. Interesting.
Well, to his point, I do think that in the later years of OWL, it's had a few years under its belt. The development will be a lot more akin to something like CSGO. I don't think it'll see nearly the number of balance changes that something like Riot goes
through.
They've
settle
got 140
into that, for sure.
champions. Of
yeah.
course they have a ton.
And it hasn't even figured out really what its professional, you know, rule set is supposed to be right now.
Activision Blizzard is looking for ways to up sponsorship for Overwatch League teams. OWL teams are allowed to sell a limited number of ad slots on jerseys, as well as digital and on-site experiences. However, with pressure on OWL teams to bring on more sponsors, Activision Blizzard is actively hunting ways to increase exposure and revenue.
I'm going
to
say this. This concerns me. And this concerns me because we're supposed to be seeing the OWL expand to home and away next season. And I'm very concerned that if there's already additional pressure from ActiBliss for them to generate more and more revenue, that makes me feel that what they're seeing on the books is not what it's supposed to be leading to up and towards that new season.
I think my thought on that would be that I'm not worried that that's happening. Like, I understand that there is pressure. I'm worried that we're hearing about it.
Yeah.
This is something that we shouldn't hear about, I feel like. So, I don't know.
The International 2019 kicks off this week, and with it, the hunt for one of the largest prize pools in all of esports. At the time of the tournament start, the prize pool is nearly $33 million. That means the winning team would take home just under $15 million if the event ended today. That prize pool will continue to grow, however, until the finals, which will be held on August 25th.
Man, every year you wonder, are they going to be able to do it? Are they going to be able to keep growing this prize pool? And every year I am astounded at how much money they're able to throw at this thing.
Let me tell you this though, even with the $15 million for the winning team split amongst the team and amongst the different players, Booga still won more money for Fortnite.
That's true. He did. I think I'm pretty excited for the International this year. They're once again bringing back the newbie stream, as we affectionately call it.
Oh, nice.
I really do like the newcomer stream.
It's very nice.
Yes, it is one of the best concepts in esports. This idea is that if you don't really know too much about the game, you can come watch the newcomer stream, and the casters will help you understand what's going on. Awesome call.
Riot Games has struck a major sponsor for the LCS. They'll be bringing on Honda as their automotive partner, and they'll be present at the Summer Split Finals in Detroit. In addition to sponsoring the League MVP Award, they'll also sponsor the LCS Scouting Grounds, a tournament for up-and-coming talent.
I mean, bringing Honda into Detroit, like, it seems like a little bit of a dig.
A little tacky, isn't that it?
It's a little bit.
But you know what? Hey, that's on the Big Three's fault. I don't see them involved in esports right now.
Exactly. Ford GM, you could have stepped up. You could have stepped up to the plate.
15-time All-Star and former NBA MVP Kevin Garnett has made a major investment into esports. His event management and production company, Big Ticket Sports LLC, has invested into Triumph Esports. They are best known for owning Rivalcade, an esports event company, and for their team, which competes in the Overwatch Contenders League.
Interesting move there.
Anything is possible! Kevin Garnett, man. I'm excited about that, man. That's so now Shaq, Kevin Garnett.
It does seem like NBA players, maybe more than anywhere else.
Because they got a lot of money.
Jonas Jerebko.
They got a lot of money. They get paid a lot of money.
The beat goes on for Echo Fox. As if a 4-14 finish to their season wasn't bad enough, they've also been mired in an ugly situation, forcing them to sell the team. At the 11th hour, Echo Fox finally secured a buyer in Kroenke Sports and Entertainment. Unfortunately, it triggered a lawsuit from Sentinels Gaming, who runs the esports division of Kroenke's company. Now, it looks like the deal has fallen through, and Echo Fox will have to go back to the drawing board with Riot.
Man, this poor slot has had the worst luck.
I'm telling you, if you told me right now that slot is cursed, I wouldn't be able to argue with you. Like, that is such a bummer. I don't know what it's going to look like either. Like, Riot gave them a pretty hard deadline, and I'm pretty sure now the plan is Riot's going to take over selling that slot, which that's a bummer.
Yeah.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. There's been another swatting incident,
this time,
it's the Fortnite World Champion, Booga, who was the target.
Yeah.
And fame has its price.
I mean, sure, but it shouldn't be that.
I'm aware.
Fortnite World Champion Booga was swatted over the weekend. He won $3 million at the Fortnite World Championships this year. For those who don't know what swatting is, it is maybe one of the worst practices to come out of the gaming community.
Especially those that call it a prank.
Yeah, it's not a prank. It's a horrible thing to call it. The idea is that if there's someone you don't like, you find out where they live. And you call in a threat to the police, effectively.
And while they're streaming.
Yeah, while they're streaming, which encourages the SWAT team to show up at their house while they're streaming.
Yep. And we've seen already one person's life get taken because of this so-called prank.
In 2017, a man named Andrew Finch wasn't even the target.
It was a guy across the street they were trying to swat.
The wrong address was given.
Not across the street, because the streamer said, "Here's my address." Gave a random one.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Correct.
The
guy getting killed.
Yeah, the most heartbreaking story.
Now, that guy did end up being prosecuted and said, to prison for it.
He did. And I mean, this is a very illegal practice. Obviously, you can't call in fake threats to the police. And, you know, it's just, to me, I have to wonder where the major media coverage of this is. You know, he was all over TV in the wake of his win at the Fortnite World Cup. He was on Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, yeah.
He was on all kinds of news outlets talking about his victory. And now, after being the target of something that has been a scourge in our community for as long as live streaming has been popular, I have to wonder where the mainstream media is on
this. Because it's not the shiny new object anymore. And
that doesn't
really,
matter. It
does matter. And it matters to mainstream media. And unfortunately, that's the way it works. I agree with you. I think mainstream media should be putting pressure on this story specifically because they covered Booga so much to expose this type of behavior.
Absolutely.
And bring light to this type of behavior. Because as you guys said, this is literally one of the most dangerous and stupid things to come out of gaming.
Yep.
And I think with a light shined on it from traditional media, there's going to be some parents who turn to their kid and go, do you do something like that? And there's going to be a couple kids who are going to have a real hard time answering that question truthfully.
And listen, if you're out there and this is something that you have done or thought about doing,
you're a jackass. I mean,
well, you are. But first of all, just take it from me. Just don't. It isn't funny.
Yeah.
It's really dangerous. And if you don't think you can be prosecuted for it, Robbie, as you mentioned, Tyler Barris, who led to the death of Andrew Finch, his swatting call, went away for 20 years to prison. He will not be coming out in the next two decades.
Well-deserved,
by the
way.
And it's well-deserved. This is something that is very serious. You could get someone killed.
Absolutely. And listen, if you are one of these people that sees the video of this and is like, boy, that's hysterical, you are really just enabling the problem.
Now, in Booga's case, too, if I remember correctly, small community, very well-known, especially with a name like Booga in there. And one of the, I think, responders recognized the address and his name. And so thankfully.
But listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out how video games have changed your life. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI, and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight photos and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we asked you guys how video games have changed your life.
This is a deeper question than we normally ask.
It is a deeper question, and we got some fantastic, phenomenal responses that I can't wait to get to here on the show. But when it comes to the four of us, sort of feel like we have similar answers, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, by virtue of the fact that we're doing this show.
Might it be that this is our career?
It could be.
Yeah.
So we got to bar that answer for the four of us, okay? Gotta put a caveat. Yeah, pull the plug on that one. So how have video games changed your life, Joe?
All right. I guess if I can't say that, I'm going to go back to playing Final Fantasy XI, because I was such a different person before I got into that game. I didn't talk.
I mean, MMOs in general.
Yeah. I was shy. I didn't really talk to people. I was very quiet and just kind of doing my own thing. And that was the game where I kind of learned. I feel like everyone growing up has this moment where they learn, like, oh, I just said something that makes me a jerk.
Yeah.
You know that moment where you, like, you learn, like, what empathy is in a conversation.
Some of us.
Not all of us immediately have learned that lesson. But, yeah, playing video games really taught me how to, like, have a conversation with adults and how to be a person.
Yeah, I don't think that that's unique at all to Final Fantasy XI.
No, I think that,
you know, anyone who played, you know, any of the early MMOs, including WoW, you know, like, until it had been a very kind of, like, regimented sort of game style, I think that that happened to a lot of us the first time that we got into an online, connected, persistent world. Mm-hmm. Robbie, what about you? How have video games changed your life?
Oh, you know, I think this probably goes for the majority of us, is it's hard to necessarily even pin down a single point. I think that all the major arcs of our life can probably be pulled back to games in some way. You know, going to Central Michigan University and just having the doors open in the dorm rooms and playing games, you were introduced to so many people. And, you know, eventually two of those guys would have ended up being my roommate for 4 years. I, you know, lived with both of them for That's where we met.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Chris, one of those friends eventually ended up moving in with, you know, outside of college. And, you know, we ended up going to a place called Yomacon, which was for anime, but, you know, in one way or another, gaming, you know,
it works its way in there. Yeah.
And, you know, that's where I met Katie, who's, you know, the girl that that I'm living with now. And, you know, that's probably going to go the distance.
You should say your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Not the girl.
The girl I live with.
It's a girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's adorable. Thank you for sharing, Robbie. Norris, what about you?
Awkward.
Is what really is.
Yeah.
You made it that.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah, you did. It's funny because, you know, gaming. For a lot of people, gaming is what Joe said, and it, you know, allowed them to sort of let the eagle wings spread and come into their own. And I felt like that was something that I never struggled with. But for me, gaming allowed me to really know and understand myself. It was my way of not falling victim to becoming a follower, to, you know, going with the crowd, going with trends.
Sure.
Gaming was my way to say the world is out there, but myself is here. And, you know, that's why I got into RPGs and deep storytelling and stuff like that. And I think without gaming, there's a lot of really terrible, negative stuff I would have been into in my life. And so gaming didn't really change my life, but it probably saved it.
That's really interesting. That's an interesting take. I think for me, it's going to be a little bit similar, Norris, to what you said. But I think that, you know, through games, and this sounds really bad to say it, but through games, I discovered empathy. And I discovered, you know, how and just kind of like a good book can, how stories can truly touch you on an emotional level, on a deeper level than you thought going into it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know how many people played Legacy of Kain's Soul Reaver, but the way that that game and that world came to life in my little child's brain was amazing. And, you know, I think that I learned a lot both about myself and how to contextualize the world around me through video games in the same way that people have used media like movies or TVs, books, music in the past. That was very, very formative to me.
I got to read this that we have in our chat because it's such an amazing story. Vay Victus over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, it says, it's how I actually met my dad.
Wow.
I didn't know who he was until I was 9. My mom surprised me and set the whole thing up, and we played Soul Calibur for hours at our local arcade.
Wow. An amazing story. All right, we got to shift our focus over to social media. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going through our social media question asking how video games have changed your life. And we got to get to social media here in just a second. But before we do, I got to ask Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, how have video games changed your life?
I have to give a special reference to Phoenix Wright because even though I've been playing games before that, Phoenix Wright is really what, one, allowed me to actually have my own console instead of having to leech off my brother's. So identifying my own identity as
ownership.
A gamer.
Nice.
Ownership.
Yes.
It also led to finding the message boards, which led to that community aspect, which led to I wanted to make those little graphic signatures, so I learned how to use Photoshop. I wanted to write. I did fan fiction, so I got into writing.
Creative outlet.
Yes.
Big time.
I got into conventions because my first cosplay was of Emma Sky. I was able to relate better with my high school friends as a gamer. Before that, nobody knew I was a nerd, so I was able to relate with my friends that way because I basically infected them with Phoenix Wright. I would say it kind of brought me out as who I am and who I was at the time much more succinctly and taught me a lot of skills.
That's awesome. All right, we got to check in with our social media followers. What were they saying over on social media?
Over on Facebook, we have Clarence who says, Dance Dance Revolution and rhythm games in general have helped me do three things in these past couple of years. One, discover a wonderful community that's not only accepting of everyone, but also drives each other to do their best. Two, lose more than 60 pounds while also maintaining that loss with the right diet. And three, attend a couple of large tournaments, one of which just happened this weekend at Infinity Stage, where I won second place in a game called Groove Coaster.
Oh, that's so cool.
Right.
That's congratulations.
Awesome.
Congrats, love hearing about that.
And really got to highlight, you know, losing 60 pounds and keeping it off.
That's a big deal.
Not easy, man.
Awesome.
We have Brandon who says, video games, specifically Skyrim, helped me with battling anxiety and gets me through the roughest patches in my life. I also have the great privilege of turning on my Xbox and hopping in a party and talking to my friends whenever I want. I don't know where my life would be without gaming, and frankly, I don't care to think about that because gaming is everything to me.
Oh, man. I love these responses. We got tons of them in. Let's get one more really quick one.
We have Theodore who says that Final Fantasy XI is where I started to practice my Japanese and kept me from drowning in high school depression, and now I work at a Japanese game company.
Wow.
All right, Teddy.
That's pretty incredible. Let's get one more.
Over on Twitter, we have Enyo who says, I met my real-life wife on Final Fantasy XIV. She lived in Russia, and after talking on Skype for almost 2 years, we got her a marriage visa, and she moved to the USA, and we got married.
Wow.
We've been almost married 3 years now and still play together.
Congratulations. Wow. Listen, make sure that you connect with us on social media so that you can respond to next week and every week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, especially because this is our last show with them. I know, both of them. It sucks. We wish them well. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.